Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Check out our online video picks. Every week we choose five videos from the web, which I anchor in a picks video. This week it's our best of 2007 so far, including real estate prices graphed as a roller coaster ride. That's our five online video picks at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Well, the New York State Legislature session, if you haven't been following this, has ended with a thud. The first 6 months of the Spitzer administration saw some accomplishments, but a mountain of unfinished business. Who's to blame? Well, a column in the Daily News today says Senate Majority Leader Joe Bruno is to blame because he is intent on blocking campaign finance reform. An article in the New York Times last week focused more on the sandbagging power of Assembly Speaker Sheldon Silver. We have the writers of both articles now to compare notes on the latest version of Albany gridlock. New York Times political writer Joyce Pernick and Daily News columnist Bill Hammond. Thanks to both of you. Welcome to WNYC today. Hello.
Good morning, Brian.
Joyce, you there? All right. I think Joyce can't hear me, or I can't hear her. Bill, by way of context first, how did the state legislature end its session? With what done, what not done?
Very end, they were working on a bunch of issues, some of which would be familiar to listeners and others more obscure. The biggest ones they were talking about were campaign finance reform, congestion pricing. They also got wrapped up into debates over the trash plan in New York City. They were talking about granting paid family leave to workers. And they did almost none of it. They passed hundreds of bills, most of them minor and a lot of them not destined to become law because they only passed one house. But they really could not come to agreement on the big issues that everybody was talking about. And so there was a round of finger-pointing, started by Senator Bruno, the Republican majority leader of the Senate, who said it was Governor Spitzer's fault for holding everything else hostage to campaign finance reform.
And
it's true that the governor was very intent on getting campaign finance reform. He considered it a major part of his mandate to reform Albany. He saw it as underlying a lot of the other problems in Albany, the influence of special interest money. But he denies that he was holding anything hostage. He acknowledges that campaign finance reform got kind of mixed
right
up with some other issues, but he...
And there is at least one looming deadline here, which is July 16th, I believe it is, for the state to apply for $500 million in federal money to get the congestion pricing experiment off the ground. And everything seems to be all tied together right now and coming back to campaign finance reform. Joyce Pernick, I think we can hear you now. Are you there?
I'm here.
Thank you for joining us.
Glad to be with you.
Have you been following this this Albany thing? And do you think maybe you can explain to our listeners what kind of campaign finance reform we're talking about in this case? We were just discussing McCain-Feingold on the national level with our next guest. What's the debate about in New York?
Well, if I might, Brian, I'm more familiar with the congestion pricing situation and the tangle that you were just talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to me that everybody is holding everybody else hostage. Because the legislative leaders want raises, right?
Right.
We
didn't mention that one yet. The legislative leaders want raises?
Yeah.
More money for themselves?
They want raises for their members. They want pay raises.
Okay.
Let's not forget that. I think that's much more important to them than any one of those issues that you just cited.
Really?
Yes,
so wait a minute. If they're the ones who make the laws and they all want raises for themselves, why didn't they just pass raises for themselves?
Because the governor has to sign off on it.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So let's not forget that there's a little self-interest involved here. So that's another ball that's in the air, right?
Uh-huh.
If the governor relents on raises, maybe they'll give a little on congestion pricing and maybe they'll give a little bit on campaign finance. It's all these balls are – it's such classic Albany. that you sort of don't know where all those balls in the air are going to land until they finally land with a thud. And you can't possibly look at one piece without looking at the other piece, to mix my metaphors a little bit.
So, Bill Hammond, you go around this cycle with the so-called three men in a room, Assembly Speaker Sheldon Silver, the Democratic leader, Senate Majority Leader Joe Bruno, who's the top Republican, and Governor Spitzer. You go round and round, excuse me, and you wind up with the blame landing squarely on Joe Bruno. How come?
Well, he sort of put himself out there as an opponent of campaign finance reform. The reforms we're talking about in Albany are really pretty pale compared to what the federal government does. New York has limits on donations that are multiples higher than the federal limits. Even if you're running for president, you can't raise money in as large quantities as you can to run for, say, the state senate or governor. And Governor Spitzer was proposing to reduce those dramatically, but they would still be some of the highest limits in the country. He was also talking about closing loopholes that allow corporations to give pretty much unlimited amounts of money and to do so anonymously. And Senator Bruno very explicitly stood up and said, "We're not going to do that bill because I think it would make it so that only rich people could get elected in this state." And that same conversation went on behind closed doors, and ultimately Senator Bruno said, "Look, we're not going to do that bill." Now, the dispute boils down to, you know, could they have done other bills with that left open? You know, to me, it doesn't really make much difference who was holding which particular issue hostage. The sticking point here was that the Senate would not do campaign finance reform, and they broke off negotiations.
So let me just focus in a little bit on what this campaign finance reform would do. As you put it in your column today, it would close a loophole that lets some companies make unlimited, untraceable donations to Albany power brokers and other much-needed campaign. I read too far into your article. It lets some companies make unlimited, untraceable donations to Albany power brokers. That's very simple. Who tends to use that now, if you know?
Pretty much everyone uses it to some degree or another. Governor Spitzer himself made use of it during the campaign. He's now saying, look, I think that loophole is wrong and should be closed. And he's voluntarily, on behalf of his own account, will no longer accept money from that loophole. It refers to the type of corporations as limited liability companies. They didn't exist when the campaign finance law was first written, and they kind of go into legal limbo. The Board of Elections declared them not to be corporations, and so they can exceed all the limits.
LLCs are not corporations under the law, therefore they can get around the campaign donation limits on corporations. Joyce, anything to add about this? LLCs are largely real estate companies and law firms, aren't they?
I agree with something Bill just said, which is that it almost doesn't matter who opposed it. I think that's what you said, Bill. I'm having a little trouble hearing, but who was holding it hostage? It was going to be held hostage. Albany is not does not look favorably upon campaign finance reform, and if one legislative leader opposes it, the other one might support it because of sort of this unwritten agreement that you need all three men to approve it, right?
Yeah.
If one doesn't, that's the end of it. But I wanted to add, or at least it's on hold until they get some kind of a payoff. But I wanted to add one other element to this discussion,
mm-hmm.
which is Governor Spitzer.
Mm-hmm.
And he started off alienating, I think quite deliberately, it was a tactic, but he started off alienating Bruno by going after, you know, saying that he wanted the Senate to go Democratic. Of course, the Senate is now majority Republican. And targeting those members that he thought were not playing ball with him. And that infuriated Bruno. And he has not been placated since. And the governor went after him. I happened to be in Albany during a meeting of the leaders, and the governor criticized him in public. He did it with good humor, but I don't think Bruno took it that way. It was over the budget at the time. And so there's a lot of the education of Elias Spitzer that's going on here as well. I mean, an attorney general is pretty much a singular actor. He or she can do whatever he or she pretty much likes. You can go after whatever agencies you want to go after. You can go whatever wrongdoing you want to go after. You have subpoena power, etc. When you are the governor, you are one of three. And I think that there's a little bit of the education, as I said, of Elliot Spitzer going on as well. He's got to learn how to play the game, and it's not a solo act.
Joyce Pernick from The Times, Bill Hammond from The News, my guests on WNYC, as we talk about campaign finance and Albany gridlock. Joyce, your article the other day was about the other man in the room,
yes.
Sheldon Silver. Headline, Silver Wields Power by Keeping Albany Guessing.
Yep.
What's his role in this?
Well, his role, he started out with Spitzer in a confrontation, as you remember, over the selection of the next state comptroller to succeed Alan Hevesy, who was forced to resign in a scandal. And he had agreed with the governor's plan to have a bipartisan panel make some decisions, recommendations on who to appoint, even though he, Silver, had the power to do it, or his house, his chamber did. And when the recommendations came back from the panel and did not include any assembly members, his membership went crazy, it was furious, and he broke with the governor on that. And they decided, the assembly did, to name an assembly member to succeed Hevesy, which they had all of the legal power they needed to do that, so they did it. Broke with the governor. Things started out very badly. And then after that, as the governor's relationship with Bruno got worse and worse, what happened with Silver is that he sort of sidled up to the governor and became his ally. So for the most part, right now, this moment, and it can change in the next moment, it's two against one. Although Silver is very cool to congestion pricing, which Mayor Bloomberg wants so very much and which Spitzer supports.
Right. So talk about that a little. I want to get both of you on this because, as your article reminds us, Joyce, when the Westside Stadium was up for debate and he, Silver, had the power to kill it, he seemed to be negotiating with Mayor Bloomberg for things for his district, and he did get all kinds of funding for his district. The mayor thought he was negotiating toward a deal, and then at the end of the day, Silver turned around and said no to the Westside Stadium,
and
the Westside Stadium was dead.
That's right.
Are we seeing a similar thing happening with respect to congestion pricing?
I don't think it's quite as clear as it was, even as it was going on, to a lot of us who were watching the Westside Stadium negotiation. I suspect some of it is going on. The difference, of course, is that the Westside Stadium at the time, Silver saw it as the money for the Westside Stadium and the plans for the Westside Stadium as competition for his district, which includes Ground Zero.
Right, that more business would move to Midtown from downtown.
Yes, exactly. And this is clearly not quite the same. At the same time, Silver remains in power basically at the behest or largesse of his membership.
And of all the Democrats in the Assembly.
That's called the Democratic Conference. It's a Democratic majority in the Assembly. And those members, most of those members from Brooklyn and Queens and the Bronx are strongly opposed to congestion pricing because they think that people in their borough will suffer.
Not to mention Westchester and Nassau.
Suffolk, yes,
and
although
Putnam.
It's not quite as quite the same, but yes, Westchester and Nassau as well. Certainly Westchester. So he's got to keep his members happy. So there's a lot of negotiation going on over that, and I'm not sure that it would be quite as cause and effect with congestion pricing
as with
the Westside Stadium, but it's certainly the parallel is that he hasn't stated a flat out no, and that means there's always room for negotiation.
So let's see, we have Silver and Spitzer for campaign finance reform. We have Spitzer and Bruno for congestion pricing. Bill Hammond, can they get to yes on these things by the July 16th deadline to get this federal application in for the $500 million in congestion pricing money?
I guess I've been doubtful from the beginning that I feel like the politics of congestion pricing are very difficult, and we're seeing that play out. I mean, you just summarized it as saying that Bruno is for congestion pricing. I don't think he's actually said that any more than Silver has actually said he's against it. They, you know, it's sort of body language and nuance. And
I thought Bruno had a bill.
Well, he introduced a bill on behalf of the mayor, but it was viewed as kind of a courtesy rather than wholehearted support.
Okay.
He's always couched his remarks in terms of this is a good concept, you know, and the city's, you know, clearing up congestion in the city is important, clearing the air is important, but Silver says those things too. And he also has to contend with strong opposition in his Republican majority.
Right, and on the campaign,
from the Long Island delegation.
Right, and on campaign finance, as you described today, Bruno sees this as an existential threat because he's so close to losing his Republican majority. He feels he needs this unregulated money in order to keep the incumbent Republicans in power in enough districts. So we just have a minute left. Can they get to yes, in your opinion, by July 16th? And what will it take?
It'll take a minor miracle, I would say, because you would have to thread the needle on, you know, two or three very difficult issues, and you'd have to overcome the personal animosity that's developed between, especially between the governor and the Senate Majority Leader.
20 seconds, Joy. Same question.
I think it's very unlikely, but with Albany, you never know, especially if those raises come through for the lawmakers.
Joyce Pernick, New York Times Metro Matter. New York Times political writer. See, force of habit dies hard. Reminding us that the raises matter to the legislators in Albany, and Governor Spitzer can hold them hostage. And Bill Hammond, columnist and editorial writer for the New York Daily News, based in Albany. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up in a minute is the TV series Heroes to the Left, what the TV series 24 is to the right. Stay tuned.